Now you say it. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Okay. I just wanted to check in with all of you, make sure that you're here for the right reason. You know, there might be a meeting down the way that you didn't know that you were coming here. So early on the first day of the week, the disciples of Jesus went to the tomb where he had been buried, only to find that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Friends, faith family, we gather here as Christ's disciples on the first day of the week to celebrate the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he lives. Welcome to this time of resurrection, to a fresh message of hope. Happiest of Easters to you all. Jesus is among us now, right here. Alleluia. Before we go into our total worship of God, I invite you to look on the back of your announcements. And if you were here an hour ago, you could have had breakfast, Easter breakfast, but you weren't, so you're out of luck. Church office is closed tomorrow. I hear that's a tradition. And Bible study will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow night in the Cornerstone Room. The community dinner will continue at 5 in Fellowship Hall on Wednesday, and Trailblazers will walk on Thursday, March 31st, from Needham School, and choir practices at 7. Are there any other announcements that I need to lift up? Okay. If you will stand and look at your bulletin, we have a call to worship together. To worship our God.
Morning. Please make sure the attendance books are passed at this time. And join me in the call to worship. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
May his grace and peace be with you all.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
Beloved church, behold the victory of God. Jesus, our Lord, has conquered the grave.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. Sin and death shall reign no more.
Let this place resound with joy. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God who loves us abundantly.
Please remain standing for the opening hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you.
Amen. You may greet your neighbors as brothers and sisters in Christ. No, you do. Yeah, that's it.
Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting. They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they put him. Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there. But he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to raise from the dead. The disciples went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head and the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I do not know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, "I saw the Master," and she told them everything that he had said to her.
Let us prepare ourselves for the day before us and claim God's potential sent to us from him. We are gathered here by Christ into this holy space, and it is holy because Christ is here. We share our joys so that they might be multiplied among us, and we share our sorrows and our worries and our concerns so that they might be divided and the burden of them be lightened among our sisters and brothers in Christ. I share a few with you, and then I will invite you to share those that you know are in need of God's healing prayer. I lift up Norval Wheatley, who had a small heart attack this last week, and he is much better, maybe came home yesterday or today. And so we pray for he and his wife, Margaret, that they, during this recovery time, are able to sustain their stamina and to get better well and come home to us. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to hold Parrish Gross and family in our prayers. He is making strides towards his wellness, and may they all be blessed with stamina and patience and hope, and know that they have complete trust in God to do so. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. May all police officers, especially today for Deputy Kuntz's family, firefighters, and first responders be protected as they protect us. May they know God's presence in each of their days. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. May parents and family and those who knew and loved the toddler that has returned home to God this last week be blessed with the comforting presence of Jesus. And may they experience deep within them the strength to carry on. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray travel mercies for the many, many, many people who are traveling this Easter week. Please keep them in your prayers, and we just cover them in prayers for safety and return back to us. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We welcome back among us who has come home to us, Reverend Fair and Eileen. They're back in the back, and we are so blessed, and we say thank you. Are there any others that have been away for a while and you would like to be welcomed back in? Okay, yes. Catherine Jones. Oh, Catherine, welcome back. Welcome back. We appreciate it. And so let's lift that up in praise. Oh, Lord, hear our praise. All right. You have an insert for Easter Lily dedications. Some are given in honor of like the choir and other people. Some are given in loving memory of individuals, and I just ask that you take that, hold it in your hand, almost in a prayer-like way, and just lift how they've impacted our lives, what they have invested in life and in our new life. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that are in need of prayer that you would like? Yes, Martha. So is that a cousin by marriage, James? Had a heart attack yesterday, but doing well, but still they are asking for prayers for healing. And so we lift James up in prayer to God, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Martha. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Let's bow our hearts before our Lord. Jesus, the risen Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been raised from the waters of baptism to share in your glorious resurrection. May our worship of you, precious God of all life, reflect you and your love for everyone and everything. Many times we have not lived as an Easter people, and we ask your forgiveness, O Lord. O Lord, hear our prayer. At times we are unsure of your promise, confused about your will, and afraid in the face of danger. Like Mary Magdalene, we weep at the tomb, but do not recognize your presence. O Lord, call us by name, that we may know with confidence your beautiful voice of grace. Give us, O Lord, courage in all things to confess your Easter victory. Whenever we are distracted by petty conflicts, keep our minds on your reconciling love. Whenever we are overwhelmed by the power of evil, reveal again to us your triumph over the destructive powers of violence, oppression, and neglect. Forgive us our sin and let our lives be a testimony to your salvation through the love you, O God, have poured upon us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us, we pray, the strength to walk away from all darkness. Give us the strength to walk into your light and to reside there. Living God, hear our prayer. Help us make this world your new creation. Holy Jesus, grant that there be peace among the nations. O Lord, hear our prayer. Listening Spirit, let sounds of weeping and cries of distress turn to shouts of joy and laughter. Grant, Holy Parent, that infants grow and thrive. Let the long-lived dance like children with freedom and abandon. Grant, sheltering presence, that every person find a home and enjoy the fruits of their labor. Show us, O Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, so that we may rejoice forever in you, risen Lord, and that you hear our devotion and love as we pray the prayer that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has given us life in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In gratitude, let us offer our hearts and the fruit of our labor to God's service, purpose, and will for Tabernacle Christian Church. They're not going to Sunday school, she told me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. His mercy reigns. God, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rings. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine.
God, this morning we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you thanks. With resurrection humming in our hearts, our minds are tuned to your song of peace. We joyfully present these gifts to you, a tangible chorus of thanksgiving, a harmony of hope for your kingdom come. Amen. Thank you.
What a glorious morning. It's beautiful outside. I feel Holy Spirit moving around in me. I felt kind of jumpy all morning, like I want to just dance around. I know you don't want to see that, but let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we just come before you in our strength and in our weakness, and we just ask that these words be much blessed. May we know that your presence is here. May we experience you in these, in the message, not necessarily in the words of this, your servant. And so stand me in the corner and bring out your spirit and be among your people. Let us know that you love us and let us give honor to this day when we remember why we are so loved and how we are so loved. Bless these words and bless each one that hear them. It is in the precious and loving name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Some 20 years ago, my daughter and I had ordered the Easter Story for children's worship and wonder. So when it came, we sat on the floor in the Worship and Wonder room, and there were three big boxes. And we took these boxes and opened them up, and one by one, we took the pieces of the story out. Well, when we emptied two of them, and we were about to head into the third one, they're trying to turn that off. I can do this. And we were about to go into the third box. I looked at her and I said, "This is a big deal." What I meant was, when I ordered it, I didn't know it had so many pieces to the story. My daughter, in her dry sense of humor, looked me right in the eyes and said, "Yes, Mom, it is a big deal." You see, we communicate in different ways. And there isn't always a way to say exactly what we want to say about spiritually important things. Yes, I know it's a big deal. But at that time, I was directed in the tangible. I know it's Easter. I know that it is a sacred, holy, big deal. And I say that in all reverence before our God. And thank God for Resurrection Sunday. For many this week, has been hard and harsh, and we need a glorious Christ is risen indeed ending that is a beginning. Because let's face it, this week has been a roller coaster of spirit and emotion week. We went from the glory of Palm Sunday when Jesus comes in to Jerusalem and people are cheering down to the deepest, darkest valley of Holy Maundy Thursday and Holy Good Friday. And now we go up into the mountaintop experience, the brightest mountaintop experience of Easter. So how do we tell such a story in a way that gives full glory and honor as we celebrate the mystery that Jesus died and that God made him alive again? Well, I'm sorry to tell those of you that like entertainment, there's no new footage, there's no remake, no creative dramatic ways of the same story being told. The story is glorious. But when we read it in the scripture, it doesn't always have its full weight against it. But as we take the pieces out of the story, we discover that there's so much more down deep. We need to dig deeper and recognize the abundant, extravagant love gifted to us all from the cross. We need to look at the details. We need to understand a more profound significance of the resurrection of life, although there are no adequate words about the spiritual mystery of God. So we'll kind of look at it piece by piece. First, let's look at the time of the day that Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. It is dark and quiet, so dark she probably couldn't even see her hand in front of her face. Why then does she go to the tomb so early? Well, we know that Mary Magdalene owed much to Jesus, gave much, loved much, and served much after she'd been in his presence. Once in the Gospel of Luke in 7:47, Jesus speaks of another Mary, and it reads, "I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven because she loved much." This scripture could describe any of us, male or female, grown or small. At the tomb, in the darkness, she grieves, she yearns, she weeps. So, in her love, maybe she was impatient. Maybe that's why she went so early. She loved Jesus deeply, and because of the Sabbath laws, his body had been placed in the grave with little or no preparation. And because Jesus was her friend and teacher and had been placed in the tomb without proper preparation with the spices, this may have troubled her spirit. Maybe she couldn't sleep. Maybe she went to do that. But there was a right way to do things, and she was going to do it. Mary goes to the tomb early in the morning and impatiently tries to make things right. Love is not held back by the darkness that surrounds one. Or maybe, like some, she wants some time alone to mourn the loss of Jesus from her life. Maybe she doesn't want others to say, "Hold on a minute, Mary, I'll go with you. Let me get my clothes on. It's early. I didn't know you were going so early." Her mood is dark. It's dark as night with despair, but it is just before the dawn of new life. Maybe she is like all of us at times, needing the comfort of solitude, to get a perspective, to be able to cope with our own emotions, our own feelings of loss, before we have to cope with the feelings of other people. So far we have dug out two details. It's early morning, very dark, before the sun is up, and Mary goes alone. Third, she is surprised. She's surprised to find this very large stone rolled away with no guards guarding the tomb. At that time, people would be put in the tomb, a big, large rock would be put in front of it, and then guards would stand there so that people could not go in and steal things. But she shouldn't have been puzzled. She shouldn't have been surprised, because she'd already been told, and others had too who followed Jesus, that his death was going to be temporary. But she is bewildered and perplexed by the empty tomb, and maybe that is where some of you are now, not quite sure about this story, not quite sure of this New Testament explanation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our resurrection because of him. So we'll give some room to see what's happening clearly and trust the God as true story. We gather together to recover the kind of faith that has more to do with trusting God in Jesus than being certain. Jesus was the one that Mary Magdalene trusted. In her love and trust and belief and puzzlement, she still goes to the tomb and goes alone. She is the first one to find the empty tomb. I find this remarkable. You would have thought that there would have been someone very credible, a king or someone very important, a high priest, to be the one to find the risen Christ was out of the tomb. But she is the one. This woman who has no credibility, she is insignificant in her community. She is the one that will proclaim the resurrection of Christ Jesus. God is the unexpected one, isn't he? So what do we know about her? What do we know of this woman? We know that she probably would have been voted least likely to succeed spiritually. Nothing in Scripture, however, tells us that she was a prostitute. Nothing. Her name tells us that she was from a city of Magdala, located on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. The city had a large population of Gentiles, non-Jews. Magdala was a wealthy city known for agriculture and fishing and shipbuilding and trade. They were very good in these financial endeavors. But they were also known for something else. They were a city that was known to be very good at something else. They were known for their immorality. In other words, they sinned well. The people there had a lot of money, and if they wanted to do something, they did it. They showed little self-restraint. They were wealthy, immoral, self-indulgent, a wreck of a city in terms of their spiritual and emotional and moral selves. Whatever we are told, though, there is something else that we need to know about Mary. She had been possessed by 7 demons. Now, we could talk for the rest of the year about what demons are. But it was a first century way for those teenagers here of explaining that she was a mess. That's what teens would say, I think. For the younger ones among us, that's probably what they would say, right? I knew it. Not only did she have multiple issues in her life, whether they were physical, emotional, spiritual, or moral, but they were chronic, reoccurring problems of life. This is where she had been. But don't count her out yet. Don't judge her yet. For this story is about the new life in Christ that Mary experienced. The Gospel of Luke 8 and Gospel of Mark 16, we are told that Jesus threw 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. And when 7 demons are thrown out of her by Jesus, Mary became a devoted disciple of Jesus. You see Mary everywhere. She travels with them. She goes, and when he is being crucified, she's there. When his body is taken down and he's taken to the tomb, she's there. She comes back in the early morning, her finest hour, her finest moment. She goes and tells the other disciples, and then at last she will tell everyone in the world that she can get to, that Jesus Christ is risen. The reason this part is shared this morning is I want you to know that the woman who goes to the tomb early in the morning before the sun comes up is someone who has already had her own experience of God's resurrection power. Mary Magdalene would nod in agreement if she heard me say that, even years later. It is written and confirmed by Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, about this power for change. If anyone is in Christ, they are becoming a new creation. Mary would shake her head in agreement and say, I am living proof that this can happen. It is happening. Mary had her own God's resurrection power to overcome the death and the guilt and the addiction within her. It is not an accident that Mary Magdalene is the first visitor to the empty tomb in the pre-dawn darkness. She is a living, breathing, new creation. She has experienced her own kind of resurrection because of Jesus Christ. His very presence healed her. For know this, if you've had 7 demons thrown out of your life, after you have been set free, after you have been made well against all odds, you might be more inclined to trust God also, who rolls away great stones from tombs and gives the dead a second chance of life. You might be more likely to keep your eyes open for the crucified one who shows up and offers God's people the gift of a new kind of life. Mary is the first one to the tomb. Now that's a detail worth remembering, don't you think? She followed, and then she proclaimed. Her life had changed. Mary went through all kinds of phases in her faith, and that's mirrored in the time of John as it is now with all of us as Christians. But belief comes with the dawn, and she came from and in the dark. First, even though she believed in Jesus, she failed to believe and understand resurrection. I don't doubt that. I think people still struggle. She thought only from a logical human perspective. She goes, his body's not there. She's mourning. She's grieving. In her mind, she gives a human meaning to it. Grave robbers. Grave robbers have come and taken his body away. She wept because she thought all was lost. The divine messengers were exasperated with her and saying, why are you crying? Look around you. There are signs of victory everywhere. But then she openly searches for Jesus in the garden. But she had to give away and let go her vision of who Jesus was in her life. Do we, and as she does, do we see Jesus and not know him? Mary could not see beyond her set ideas of who Jesus was until he called her by name. Now, in first service, I didn't plan this. It just came to me, and I'll repeat it. My mother's been gone for almost 35 years. But I can assure you, if she came into this room and I did not see her and she called my name, if she said, Evie, I would know her in an instant. And that is how well we are to know Jesus Christ. When we hear his voice, when we see him in other people, we are to know him. We are to be so close as breath is to lung to our Jesus Christ. She wept, but then when he calls her name, He opened her to his resurrected presence. We can hope for change, but sometimes when it happens, we may doubt or refuse to accept it. God gave us the ability to choose. We have seeds of choosing within us. And so it is our choice. Then, when she recognized the fact, the truth of resurrection, she wanted to capture the moment and to hold on to it. She wanted to hold on to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, I haven't returned to the Father yet. You can't do that. But he's also telling her, live now. Live a resurrected life now, not just in eternity. Live today. Don't hold on to the past. I will be with you always. But there's a tenderness there. She wants to lay her head on him. She wants him to comfort her because he's done that before. Just like we want someone to comfort us. There is a tenderness there. Jesus responds that she cannot cling to him. Things must have changed. Yes, she and the other believers, all of us, have access to eternal life. That's a pretty big deal. Finally, the meaning of resurrection has become clear, and Mary moves then to the last level of faith. She runs to announce the good news to others, evangelizing that the Lord is risen. This shows an appropriate faith in the resurrection, for now she sees it as not a means of escaping life now, waiting until she goes to eternity, but she's to live a resurrected life now, changed, better. And when she goes back the second time to tell those disciples, you know, they didn't listen to her the first time, they had to go and check it out. They'd been in hiding. She goes, tells them. They go check it out for themselves. I do that to Steve all the time. You know, he'll tell me something. I don't believe it. I go look. But when she goes back to the disciples, she is changed. What has happened on the inside is revealed on her face. She is a changed, resurrected, living woman. And the resurrection of Jesus is true. We worship a living Savior and can live forever because he does. There is something about living testimony that gives courage to us all. Once we see someone else emerging, crawling out from life's darkest tomb, and that they have overcome it, maybe we can too, we think. Easter is about openness, about God coaxing growth, turning over the soil in our spirit, so to speak. God waters the gardens of our hearts, but are we ready to receive the seeds of grace? Will you allow the green shoot of divine life spring up into you in your inner souls, in your inner life, so that when people see you, they say, you are changed. I see that you are changed. Let us remember, we are Easter people. We are Easter people. Actually, every Sunday, as long as we celebrate the Holy Communion, we are an Easter people. We ought to just... live now and forevermore. Amen. All right. We are about to sing our hymn of invitation. It's number 226. Anyone who has experienced God, who has been urged by the Holy Spirit to come forward and join us here at Tabernacle in this faith family, we open our arms, our hearts, our minds to you. Please come, and we will receive you as people who are loved. And so let's sing 226, He Lives.
Thank you.
You may be seated. I'm going to give you a little bit of an instruction before we go into the service of Holy Communion. We are going to serve today by intinction, and it's just a fancy word to say we're going to take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. But you're going to come down through these two inner aisles here. There will be two stations of elders and myself to serve you. And then once you take the bread, you dip it in the cup, and then you go back on the outside, back to your pew. And if you are unable to come forward, please just raise your hand, let someone know. We'll make sure that you are served where you are sitting. You are invited to this table. It isn't me who invites you, although I'm the one that issues the words. I love the word celebrant. That's what I'm called whenever I am telling you about this table. And we do celebrate. He who was buried but rose from the dead is now present in the bread of life. He whose wounded hands were offered to the unbelieving now reaches out to us in the cup of mercy. Jesus, Son of God, gave his life willingly for each one of us. He invites you to share his holy supper, the Lord's Supper. So let's prepare our hearts by singing hymn number 349, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And we're going to sing verse one, please. To that upper room.
He took the bread. He gave God thanks for it. He broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and blessed it. All of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance. On this cup of mercy, and invite you to join us in the name of
Christ is risen. Thank you. All right. If you will turn to page 431 in your hymnal, we will sing ourselves out of here with God's blessing. And then I will bless you if you will allow me for this beautiful, glorious day. And so I thank you for being here. Know that I love each and every one of you. There is a spirit of God that is felt deep to my soul. So I thank you for that beautiful, beautiful day. So if you will stand.
Amen.